Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1 through 5, in sweet communion. Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of 203.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, and that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God of heaven and of earth, we may gather together in this morning again, round about thy everlasting word and testimony, given unto those who have but a short time here upon this earth, our life being finite, our bodies being mortal, but our souls being immortal. And thou gatherest us to hear a word which shall never pass away, that it may be profit for us, not only for this life, but that it may be profit for us for a never-ending eternity. And Lord, thou knowest that we have no desire after thee, and we have no thought by nature of such an eternity. And though that we are warned, and though that we are called Sabbath after Sabbath day, though we may read thy word, and thy voice which is therein, then there is no heeding of thy word. There is nothing that goes into our hearts. There is no place to receive thy calling. O Lord, then we are dependent upon thee, that thou may give such a heart unto each and every one of us. Oh, that the ability to receive an impression may
be wrought by thee within us, and that we may receive such a new heart, a heart that has the ability to weep, a heart that has the ability to feel, a heart that has the ability to sorrow, to grieve, that that our hard heart, that our stony heart may be taken out of our flesh, and that we may be given a heart of flesh by thee. Lord, is this not thy work? Oh, that thou may perform it also in this thy holy Sabbath day unto us and unto our dear children, that we also may receive an impression this day, and that we may not go without that prophet and that eternal prophet that we cannot miss as we travel together to the judgment seat of thee. Lord, remember us then according to thy holy word. Then there is nothing that we can expect from ourselves. And thou knowest it, Lord, for how long have we not burdened this earth with our existence and with our presence? An evil presence, an evil and a corrupt and a carnal mind and heart. Oh, that thou would cleanse us, that thou would renew us, and that thou from thy side would become too strong for us and for our dear children. Oh, seek us out who will never seek after thee. Oh, bless thy word by thy Spirit this day, when we are gathered around thy holy word, that thy Holy Spirit may be sent forth from above. Oh, that he may fill us for the preaching, that he may fill us for the hearing, that there may come a silent weeping, an inward weeping of the heart of men, young and old together, and that there may come place also and room for thy dear Son. O Lord, he is thy only begotten Son. He is thy beloved Son. He is the Son in whom thou sayest that thou art so well pleased. O Lord, thou knowest that by nature we are not so well pleased with him. Oh, then he has no form or comeliness to us. And then it will only be thy just judgment that will be glorified forever and forever in us, except that thou wouldst become too strong for us and our children. Oh, that we also might learn to glorify thee in thy mercy and in thy grace. Oh, that we might come to know thee in thy love and in thy tender mercies and in thy compassion. Oh, that we may come to magnify and to glorify thy great and holy name as it is revealed to us in and through thy beloved Son, in thy holy word. O Lord, this will be to thy honor and to thy glory. And when thou didst send out thy servants long ago, O, didst thou not promise to be with them unto the end of the world? O, that thou mayst show thyself then also in the days that we are living with our dear children. O, look thou upon thy people. O Lord, do instruct them and lead them in the steps of grace. O, that they may come to the knowledge of thee, as thou gavest thyself in thy only begotten Son, and that they may be brought also unto the knowledge of the reconciliation with thee, who art the Father. O, that they may also come to know, for the blessed certainty and the assurance of their own soul, that in him they are justified, and that in him they are sanctified, and that in him they are reconciled unto a triune God. O Lord, then it is not only the comfort of thy children, But is it not also for the magnification of thy great and holy name? Or wilt thou not show forth the great benefits of thine only begotten Son, and what it means to be incorporated into him? Oh, that the blessings also to be in him, that they may be made manifest in the life of thy children already here below. Oh, that many may be jealous of this portion, and that many may come also to desire thee, O God. Wilt thou then look upon us in mercy, young and old? Look on all the afflicted and all those that have trials in this life. And be with all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that are lonely, and those that are afflicted with serious diseases. And wilt thou supply in the needs due to the consequences of our own sin? Bring thou our sin home unto us through all these outward callings, that we may learn to seek our Maker, while it is still a day of grace. Wilt thou be with all parents? Wilt thou give love between husbands and wives? Wilt thou give obedience unto parents? Wilt thou give love between brothers and sisters in the short time that they have to gather as families in this life? Wilt thou gladden parents with such a walk amongst their children? And wilt thou keep our youth and our children from all the seeking of Satan here below? Lord, thou knowest his wiles. Thou knowest his deceit. Thou knowest what he portrays to us as that which is desirable, as that which is so innocent, as that which leadeth not unto that great pit. Oh, that thou may keep our youth in the days in which we are living, that they may put away all the filthiness that is before them day by day, wherein Satan attempts to drown them in that sinfulness, and that is so to the destruction of the families. Lord, that thou may give us as parents to watch over our children. But wilt thou watch over them for good? Wilt thou give us to walk in a careful way? Wilt thou go before all thy sent servants this day? Lord, do help them in the preaching of thy word. Help us also, oh, that thou may go before us feelingly and believingly, and that we may know that thou art in the midst of us by the effects of thy Spirit among us, that there may be fruit upon the labors, that there may be profit for souls, and that new ones may be born in Zion, and that a grief over sin may be experienced in the midst of us for the first by renewal, and that so we may be brought off of that wide, that broad way that leadeth unto destruction, and that we may enter in through a straight gate, and that we may walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. O Lord, help us then in this morning. Put us not to shame. And wilt thou bless the labors which have been done also in the midst of us as a classes in the week that is gone by? And may thou bless the decisions which have been made. And may thou go before us as classes and denomination and congregations together. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care. how he vowed to seek no pleasure until thy house he should prepare. Lord, remember his devotion. Restless in his courts he trod, till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God. Till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 367, 1, 2, and 4. congregation, Joseph said unto his brothers, come near to me. Is that not a wonder? Come near to me. His brothers stood there in their guilt. We are verily guilty concerning our brother as they stood before this mighty viceroy. And when Joseph did reveal himself to them, did say who he was, then those brothers not only stood in their guilt, but they stood there in their fear, because then they were afraid of the wrath. They were afraid of the just judgment, the vengeance of this not only mighty viceroy, but of their brother. And what do they hear? Come near to me. In that moment that those brothers thought that it would be just the opposite, in the moment that those brothers thought that they would be cast away because of the wrath of this judge, then they do hear the tender voice of their brother. Come near to me, I pray you. What has he a desire to do? He has a desire to take those brothers into his bosom. Those wicked, those guilty brothers, he has a desire to embrace them. He has a desire to kiss them. Who is able to fathom the mercy and the grace of God in his only begotten Son? But it will be experienced in the guilt, in the misery, in the wretchedness of the life of this people. The words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion that has been read to you, Ephesians 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So far the words of our text. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. First, far off. Second, made nigh. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. First, far off. Second, made nigh. Congregation, to whom is this epistle written? This epistle is written to the Ephesians. Thus, they are not children of the Jews, of the nation of the Jews, but they are of the heathens, they are of the Gentiles. 4,000 years.
These Gentiles have been shut out, as it were, from the kingdom of God. We read that even the Lord Jesus Christ says that I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it is not meet that we should take the children's bread and that we should cast it unto the dogs. Thus it was not for the Gentiles, no, but for 4,000 years. And they have been excluded, as it were, from that kingdom of God and of Christ. Was that well deserved? Oh, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Thus, yes, it is well deserved. Is that just? Is that, as we would say, children, fair of the Lord, that he would take only the Jewish people and that he would leave on the outside the Gentiles? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? 4,000 years, although it was a long time, it would not be forever. We read it here, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, you are called uncircumcision by the Jewish nation, by those who are in the flesh circumcised, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ye who sometimes were far off from whom? Were far off from God. That is, congregation, not able to be said of the animals. We cannot say of the animals that the animals are near unto God or that the animals are far off from God. No, because the animals do not even have the capacity to be in such a relationship unto God. But how differently was man created? That he was created with a capability that was different and that was far above all the rest of the creation, the inanimate creation and the animate or the animals in this world. A capability to have spiritual life. A capability to be near unto God. And not only a capability to be near unto him, but were created in that very relation unto him. That is, near unto God. And they may enjoy this nearness. And they may enjoy the image of God in which they were created. They may enjoy the knowledge of God to know who that he is, to know what that he commands. They may be in the enjoyment of that right relation unto God. Nothing between God and man. They may enjoy that spotless holiness of that state of their innocency. O created in the enjoyment of that blessed image of a holy being. Created in the enjoyment also of the presence of the Lord. We read that the Lord, He did walk with our first parents in their creation in the garden. Oh, they may be in enjoyment of that nearness unto Him. To be in the enjoyment of the communion with God, that they may see Him as it were, that they may hear His voice, and that they may speak unto, that they may speak with Him, that they may be in the enjoyment of His favor. Even when His felt presence would not be always the same with our first parents, yet that favor of the Lord that was with them every moment. Ye who sometimes were far off, O Adam, he had not imagined such a thing in the state of his innocency. What it meant to be far off from God. Because he knew nothing about misery. But then there came a day. There came a day that very blessed state, that very blessed condition in which our parents may be created, which they may enjoy day by day and hour by hour and moment by moment. Then there came a day that all this changed. A day that they were sent. No, a day we read that they were driven. They are driven out from the presence of the Lord. Thus they go from a place that is so near unto Him. Then they have to go to a place that is far from God. Ye who sometimes were far off, then they lost the blessings that were contained in that blessed near relation unto God. Then they had enjoyed not the knowledge of Him anymore, but then they are living in their ignorance. Then no longer may they enjoy that right relation to Him, but there is instead the curse. There is instead the wrath of God that is lying upon them. No longer may they enjoy that blessed state of innocency in all of their purity and their holiness. But they have now become so filthy and so corrupt from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot. Oh, lost all the blessings that had to do with that blessed place so near unto God. Ye who were sometimes far off, what a great misery sin has brought into this world. Because to be removed far off, what is that? That is the punishment for sin. That was so in paradise. And that was so, continued to be so after paradise. Then we read of the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. And Moses is on that mount 40 days. Then there is an idol. Moses returns. The Lord is angry. What does the Lord say? He says, I will send an angel with you. Because I cannot go up in the midst of this rebellious people. Far off from God because of sin. Do you know what Moses did? We read that he took the tabernacle of the Lord and he pitched it afar off outside of the congregation of the Lord. That was not the tabernacle that had the ark in it. That was not made yet. That was not Moses' personal tent. No. What was that? That was a tabernacle that was called at that moment the tabernacle of the Lord. That was that public meeting place, as it were, that place where Moses, by the hand of the Lord, and did judge the children of Israel. And Moses, he places this because of the sin of that people on the outside of the congregation, far off from that camp. Ye who were sometimes far off. Children of Israel, they came into the land of Canaan and there they again sinned against the Lord. And what does the Lord say? He says, I will cast you far off. So he did. When they had to go into a far away land, Ezekiel, because of the sin of that people, then he may see by the visions of the Lord, the glory of the Lord that is removed from the cherub and that is standing upon the threshold of the house of the Lord. Then what does the Lord say? He says, I am ready to depart from you. I am ready to put a great separation between me and you because of your sin. Ye who sometimes were far off. Is this not the experience of that true church of God? Was that not the experience of the bride? Oh, she says, I opened unto my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself. That was because of her sin. It was because of her slothfulness. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Oh, he had gone far off. The psalmist says, why standest thou afar, O Lord, why hidest thou thy face from me, O ye who sometimes were far off? There is, congregation, no greater punishment. There is no greater punishment than to be far off from God. Do you believe this? We read the Lord Jesus says in hell that that rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. What is that? That is only the finalization of that state and condition that we have brought ourselves into in paradise. It is just made final. And so it will be made final to you and to me if we will die in that same state as we have been born. But then it will not be as we read in our text, ye who sometimes were far off, no, but then it will be ye who are forever and forever and forever far off. Or is that then to us a burden in this life? We go to our second thought, made nigh. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. What is that? Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That is, congregation, the reversal. That is the reversal of this punishment. From far off to be made nigh, to be brought close. Come near to me. What can we now say of this? Who is able to fathom that we may even hear this with our ears this day? Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. Who is able to rightly express the greatness of the benefit that we may hear with our natural ears? Who may magnify rightly this wonder, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh? Is there anything that you can find in this entire world that is as great a benefit as the apostle speaks of in our text? Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. This possibility to be made nigh again is not a possibility that we find congregation in the entire creation of God. Oh, the creation sings to the glory and to the honor of the Lord. All nature praises God. But there is nothing that we can find in nature that speaks to you and to me of this possibility. There is nothing in the beauty of the mountains. There is nothing in the beauty of the hills and of the seas and of the stars and of the universe. Nothing. Though it speaks about the greatness of the Lord, though it speaks about the presence of our Creator and our Provider, there is nothing at all that a man can see of this possibility of those who are far off, that they may be made nigh. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. Where do we find this? We find it in the Word of God. How utterly poor is man in this world who has not this Word of God. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. Here is, congregation, the entire message of the Holy Scriptures. This is the revelation of God. This is the law. This is the gospel. Ye who are far off because of His law are made nigh. The entire message of that holy word of God. And have we no desire for that word? Can we lay then that word on the shelf and go to every other book and novel and fiction and all kinds of garbage and lay the holy word of God in its place that speaks of those who are far off being made nigh? It's not our word. It's the word of God. It's not the word of man. You know whose word that is. It is the word of Him whom man rebelled against. The word of Him whom man has sinned against. It is the word of Him who has sent man, who has driven man out of the garden. It is His word. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That is the word, congregation, that is preached to us. That is a word that so many in this world have never heard. They may see, they may feel something of the existence and the presence of the Lord in their creation. Or they may feel that there is a God, that they must worship Him. They may try, they may bow down before the creation itself. But how to be made nigh? They do not know. There was once a people who stood before Mount Sinai, and they also did not know how that they could be made nigh. And they experienced exactly the opposite. We read they trembled because of the majesty and the holiness of the God of heaven and of earth that was portrayed upon this mount. What do we read? They removed themselves and they stood afar off. Or is that not also what we will do one day? Then we will desire, the scriptures say, the mountains to fall on us and the hills to cover us, that we may be far off from the face and from the presence of this God. They did not know how that they could be made nigh. And now what did the Lord command to Moses? The Lord says, teach them. Teach them. Teach them what? Teach them how that they can be made nigh again. Is that not a wonder? And then he had to build a tabernacle. And in that tabernacle was an altar. And on that altar was laid the animals, the sacrifices. Oh,
gold and the blood that began to flow from that altar. And then there was for that people already in the Old Testament instruction. Instruction in what? How they could be made nigh again. That was the same instruction in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. That is the same instruction that Paul gives unto these heathens, to these Gentiles, to the Ephesians. What does he say? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. No, that was not a people who could bring themselves nigh. That was an impossibility. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The wages of sin is death. That is the only way. And God is not a man that he should lie. He is not the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? No, there was not a people that could bring themselves nigh. That bringing nigh that was not to be done by a man. The Lord Jesus says, with man it is impossible. But what does he say? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here is now the way. Here is now the instruction that the Lord gives unto those who were so far off. He says it is a way of satisfaction. It is a way of the satisfaction of my justice. Where that required death will in fact be undertaken, be suffered. Where that blood that indeed that will flow, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. O precious blood. O precious blood of that Son of God Himself. O precious blood that is able to make nigh, to bring close again those who are so far off. And those who are not able to be brought nigh in any other way. O precious blood, O precious suffering, O precious death, O precious willingness of this beloved mediator that is able to make it right again between God and the soul of those who have gone far off from Him, and to bring them near. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. No, that is not a people that shall boast in anything of themselves. No, it was not their own power. No, it was not their own strength that did make them nigh. Oh, read this chapter again when you come home. Paul, he rejoices, as it were, in that blessed, sovereign, one-sided work of the Lord. What does he say? And you hath he quickened, who were dead in sin, trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind, of the flesh and of the mind, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. No desire to return unto the Lord. Oh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our mind. No turning, no returning. But what does he say? But God.
But God, he says, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, he says, Ephesians, there is not a single thing that is now coming from your side which you may boast in, not in the meriting of salvation, not in the application of salvation, no. In that meriting of salvation, it is by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the application of salvation, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you who were far off are made nigh. That was congregation, the Ephesians. How is it now for us? Let us sing. Psalter 114, 1, 5, 6, and 7. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. 1, 5, 6, and 7 of 114.
Thank you.
Ye who sometimes were far off. Are there those congregation in our midst who are also far off? It is possible that we are so near in the ordinances that we may use the ordinances of the Lord day by day and week by week, and yet be so far off from God. Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. So close, and yet so far off. Is that now also your case? Oh, there are those who are so far off, but for whom this is no burden. No, you can use these ordinances according to the custom of your parents, as you have been taught a right and a good thing. You can use these ordinances, but in your heart you love to walk and to continue on in the ways of sin. There is no burden to you that you are so far off from God. By nature, congregation, it is no grief. By nature, we do not mourn that we have left Him. Nor do we have a desire to return unto Him again. And now this blood that is also preached to you, to those of you who have no concern, to those of you who love to walk and to continue on in your sin, and then before you is portrayed blood. It is blood by which you are told that the chiefest of the sinners may be brought nigh again unto God. But there is no place in your heart for this blood. There is no desire in your heart for this blood. There is no room for this blood. Therefore, you reject that blood. Congregation, if this remains so, oh, that blood that is going to gnaw, that is going to gnaw forever and forever and forever upon your conscience. Oh, how you will remember that that blood that has been presented before you, blood by which that you also could draw nigh unto God, to be brought near unto Him. When you are in that place and that that final separation that will be forever and forever finalized, in that place that Satan himself will deride you and say it is your own fault because that was never blood that was preached unto me. And when that opportunity that has been before you your entire life long
And when we have said we have no desire to draw nigh unto this God, O congregation, may we be given to hasten for the sake of our life. What does the Lord say? Turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die?
Ye who sometimes were far off, O congregation, I know there are also those. There are also many who are not so very careless, not in an outward way. And you do not wish really to walk in the ways of sin. You have a careful life. And your life that is not offensive to God's people. Not your walk, not your conversation, not your dress. You have a certain desire. Oh, you know that you lack it. You know that you are on the outside. You know that you are not one of the blessed people, and you also would like to be one of them. Oh, what do you lack? Oh, if you are honest with yourself, must you not say that it really has never become your burden that you are far off from God? That you have never missed your Maker, that you have never missed your Creator? That you are still able to live, that you are still able to go over this world without God in the world. Oh, you hear what you lack. You realize what you lack. You read the Word of God. You pray. And yet, you cannot give yourself. Oh, you cannot move your own heart to give you that love unto God, to give yourself that desire for Him. Oh, it seems to you so impossible. You say, my heart that is actually so hard. Oh, you know what you experience. You experience your deep fall. That is what it is. You experience that you are dead. That you have no heart, that you have no breathing of that spiritual life after the true, after the living God. This you feel in yourself. You say it is impossible. We say, no, it is not impossible. And why is it not impossible? Read this chapter over again when you come home. Do you know what it says there? It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, it is not impossible. Only it is impossible from your side, yes. But there is, congregation, so much power. So much power at the right hand of God. Will you then not go there? Will you then not seek it? Where it is to be found. Will you then not go upon your knees in the way of repentance, even if it is an outward repentance, and say, Lord, O thou who quickenest, thou who givest life from the dead, to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Lord, here I am also. Ye who sometimes were far off. And congregation, is it not that there are some for whom this is a burden? That you are far off from God? Is there not a people who in your heart have come to love Him? Is there not a people who from far off do long for Him, that you may also return into His presence, into His communion? Oh, do you not come here into that place where He promises to be? And do you not say, when you leave your home on Sunday morning, Lord, wilt thou come too? Lord, wilt thou speak to me? Lord, wilt thou show thyself? Lord, wilt thou not be far away from me? Are there not those who may sometimes long with those daughters of Jerusalem and say, whither has thy beloved gone that we may seek him with thee? You say, I do not know of Christ. I do not know who he is. But is he not then the longing of that true church of God? And then you desire that you may long for him too, but actually you do not know what you ask. Because in your heart, really, there is still no room for him. Not for that blood. Not for this Son of God. What do you say? You say, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O Lord, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. O Lord, when wilt thou come unto me? Oh, when this is the way that you think to take away that separation, and when this is the way that you still desire from far off to be brought nigh, oh, you are mistaken in all your sincerity and all your desire. You are still mistaken. What do we read? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. If, congregation, we will be made nigh, then we will need to come to an end of all our own work, that there may be room for this blood. Or is there a people for whom indeed this has become a reality? The impossibility from your own side. And why? Or a people, you stand so far off because of your guilt. You stand so far off because of your sin. You stand so far off Because from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. You stand so far off. Why? Because all my righteousnesses, even, oh, they are as filthy rags. Is there therefore no hope? Do you not dare to approach unto the Lord because he is a consuming fire? Do you stand far off with that publican who stood afar off and who did not dare to lift up his eyes unto heaven? Do you stand far off with the lepers in their wretched condition? Oh, what did Joseph say to his brothers? Come near to me. Come near to me. And congregation, they also stood far off. They stood far off because of their guilt. Because of their own sin. Oh no, you cannot approach unto God yourself. But now that Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sin of the world, then he also says with this, Joseph, come near to me. Come near to me, O my guilty brothers. Come near to me, that you may be included in my blood, and that by my blood I may bring you again into that blessed presence of my Father. Come near to me, that I may embrace you. Come near to me, that I may kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. Are there not also those who know something of it, congregation, in your life, who are not strangers of what it means to be brought nigh from far off? That by that blood, oh, you may taste something of the favor and of the communion of the Lord again. And now, where is it gone? Is it gone again? And must you now look again from so far off? All desiring, desiring by renewal that you may be brought nigh. So far off because you have separated yourself, because your carnal heart has gone out after this vain world, alienated yourself, become like the heathens, become like the Gentiles, as if there is nothing anymore. And it seems even to the world that they cannot see any difference. No difference between you and them. Is there no way back anymore? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, the prodigal. He said, I will arise and I will go unto my father and I will save my father. I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But what do we read? Oh, when he was yet a great way off. Oh, there already his father, he saw him. And he had compassion on him. And he ran. And he fell on his neck.
And he kissed him.
Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, how far we have separated ourselves from thee, not only for the first time, but also by renewal. O that thou may give, in the midst of us as a congregation, that desire, that longing, that we may return again. And Lord, there is no way from our side, but thou hast made a way in and through that blood of thy dear Son. Oh, we may hear of it in this morning. Oh, it is, Lord, just a simple word, but may it touch a heart, young and old in the midst of us, that we could not go on any longer without God in this world. And that our desire may be born. And that the desire of those who seek thee may also be fulfilled. Oh, that that way may be opened unto them. A way of free and sovereign grace. In the blood of thy dear Son. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. We cannot convert ourselves. We cannot convert one another. Lord, why hast thou sent us? Oh, may thou work in this place. May thou work in our congregation. May thou send thy spirit from above and do wonders in the midst of us. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 55, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me within his tender care. And with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me. With plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of 55. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless them.